You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Are dogs living longer? Because it seems like they're living around the same amount of time, right? So like, why the hell am I spending so much on all this fancy food for them to maybe get like a year longer? Like, life expectancy of dogs doesn't seem to be that much greater than it used to be.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I think
that's a lot of these 17-year-old dogs running around that didn't used to exist, man.
Well, another question I wanted to ask him is if old dogs look at younger dogs and think of them as like millennials. You know what I mean? And like think back and say like, you know, I used to have to hunt for my food. I used to live outside. Now you live such a coddled life. You live inside all day and everybody gives you dog ice cream. Dog ice cream wasn't a thing when I was a dog.
Billy, wouldn't you want an extra year out of your dog? I mean.
Yeah, no, I would. I mean, yeah.
But he's saying like the amount of investment
isn't
paying off.
Yeah, what are we, is it making a difference? I just don't know if it's making a difference or not.
Right.
They tell us that it is.
They're selling us on it makes a difference.
Yeah, but I'm not sure.
Right.
Yeah.
They should guarantee it.
I'd also want the year, if I could choose the year, on the front end, not the back end, because the back end's always the sad years. You know what I mean?
The bad years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the old years.
I don't want an extra year from 17 to 18.
Tack on a puppy year.
Exactly right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right.
It's fair.
You get it.
Mm-hmm. I do get it. Guarantee me a puppy year.
I want an extra puppy year. Not 17 to 18.
You know, like, do they do dog leases?
No.
What do you mean, lease a dog?
Like, you get a new dog every 3 years.
You trade in a dog?
Trade it in, get a new one.
Well, you know what happens.
What?
Well, when you turn in the dog.
What happens? They sell it to someone else.
No, that's probably not what.
Markup.
Most people aren't, from markup. No, most people aren't coming in saying, give me a 4-year-old dog.
Buy you a dog. Goes down coming off the
line. I would say the life expectancy would go way down if we're leasing.
But
dogs.
I mean, are you looking to lease a dog during its good years and get rid of it, you know, during the bad years?
Then it's like some family that's not as fortunate, they get to inherit a dog that's been, you know, lived in a little bit.
At the tail end?
Yeah, broken in dog.
And you get to lease a fresh new dog?
Get a fresh one, yeah.
So in this situation, you're giving poor people old dogs that are sick.
I'm just saying, like giving them dogs that, you know, been lived in a little bit.
Broken
in. Some people don't want to go with training a dog, guys. Some people just want a dog that's
ready. Yeah, but they also don't want a dog on its last legs. I mean,
well, I'm not saying turn it in as an 18-year lease, like
right.
Except 3 or 4 years. You know, you turn it in, you got a nice 4-year-old dog. People want 4-year-old dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Those dogs are mature. They know the deal. They're not pissing and shitting all over the house.
Right.
Right, they're not biting mailmen.
But the dog gives you so many good times and memories on the front end that you have to be there for them on the back end. I understand what you're saying in theory, like lease your kids away once they become teenagers. I get it, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't want more.
It seems like you're saying that, right?
Yeah. No, like when I pay off these kids, that's paid in full, I'm done.
You don't need new ones.
I don't want new ones. I'll ride public transportation at that point. No, man, like you guys are like pining for the puppy years or whatever. All right, man, so just turn it in, get you a new puppy. Because that seems like a lot of work. You got to teach it like, don't shit everywhere. Oh, don't be afraid of fireworks. Oh, you know, don't bite that person. They're friendly. It's a lot, man. But some people apparently love it. So like, let's do this like efficiently. Let's get the young dog, the people who want young puppies. Get them puppies. Let them live nothing but puppy life for the rest of their life. Meanwhile, the people who want mature dogs, we got them too. I want a mature dog. I want a dog that's ready to go. Like, hey, sit, roll over, fetch. You know, like, I don't want to teach them these things, obedience school and all that stuff.
Just know it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you feel bad for that dog? Like, this dog had a family before, and then the family decided I wanted a new dog, so now it has, like, abandonment issues.
Dog doesn't give a shit, man.
Really?
As long as, like, as long as neither family was abusive, they're fine. Trust me. You feed me on time and, like, scratch my belly or whatever, I don't give a shit who you are. Yeah, you kind of look like Billy, too. Like, they look at your dog is, like, looking at the new family. Yeah, I kind of look like that dude. You wear glasses, too. That's the same guy. What?
You dogs have dog no bonds, Giselle. You have glasses.
You think
same
this
family.
Dog is sitting here crying, like, oh, I miss Billy. We used to go on walks. Like, no. Like, this new owner is so much better. Billy had to roll the papers. I'm like, no, don't, making me do shit. This guy just asks, right? Like, sit. Oh, there you go. He just sat.
Wow. So what if dog leased humans for 3 years at a time to figure out if they wanted to live with them?
Yeah, with an option to buy?
Yeah. It's like a mutual thing. Like, both parties had to activate the option.
We'll have to turn the key like a nuclear launch.
My kids really love you. Please choose to stay.
Yeah. Like, it's like a lot of campaigning, right? Like maybe what if it's like a free agency?
Exactly, like, yeah, dog free agency, yeah.
You got to show the dog, like, you know, all the pictures of the good times and stuff, and then some Photoshopped images of good times to come. Like, oh, we haven't even talked about the trip we're going on to you know, the dog park next week. What do dogs like to do?
Shit.
Westminster Dog Show. There you go. Like, oh, shit. I wanted to save this until later, but boom.
Stugatz, do you have any idea what the truth is on the Freddie Freeman story? I believe that you were very opinionated last week on things happening with Freddie Freeman. Baseball does those moments well. When he went back to Atlanta, got the ovation from the Dodgers, it was moving. If you care about the Braves, he seemed moved. You don't know whether he regrets leaving the Braves or not. Clayton Kershaw, weirdly, who shares an agent with him, is quoted as saying, hey, man, I hope he's not settling, or some sort of thing, he says. I hope he's not settling for being around here, or that we're not second place. And then you find out, according to Doug Gottlieb, a report that suggests, I believe this would be something that's going to get him in trouble if it is not true, because the agent for Freddie Freeman says it's not true, that, is his name Close? I don't know what his first name is. The agent for Freddie Freeman did not bring the last offer of the Braves to Freddie Freeman, and that if he had brought that offer to Freddie Freeman, that Freddie Freeman would have taken it and stayed with the Braves. The whole story is strange, and now Close is threatening legal action on Gottlieb.
Here's the story, Dan. Freddie Freeman decides where Freddie Freeman wants to play baseball. Not his agent, not, you know, any sort of reports. I know the Braves ended up signing Matt Olson because they felt like Freddie Freeman was going to the Dodgers. Why'd they feel that way? Because Freddie Freeman has said before, hey, I'm from L.A. I love the Dodgers. I grew up watching the Dodgers. I wouldn't mind going home to L.A. And then he had that feel-good moment in Atlanta where they're giving him standing ovations. And so for Freddie Freeman to fire his agent after he has those feel-good moments, when the agent, at least as far as I could see it, was doing his job, was shopping Freddie Freeman around to the two teams Freddie wanted to play for, Atlanta and the Dodgers. But at the end, Freddie Freeman decides which contract he's going
to
take.
He decides it on information that his agent is hired at a percentage to bring him that is the most accurate information, not partial information. Stugatz, this is a fireable offense and a career ender. You can't be trusted as an agent ever again, as an agent ever again, if you're someone who does this, if this is true. But so he has to defend himself vigorously against it being true, but Freddie Freeman's not commenting. Freddie Freeman to the moment hasn't said why he fired his agent. But of course you have, I don't know what's true here, but I wouldn't want to be Doug Gottlieb and wrong here.
No, of course not. You don't want to be Doug Gottlieb and be wrong here, but I'm not going to go with Doug Gottlieb in his report. I believe the agent did his job. I believe the agent, Dan, presented Freddie Freeman with his options, and Freddie Freeman chose the Dodgers, and maybe he has some regret.
But why fire his agent then?
To make it look like he didn't make that decision on his own, because I do believe Freddie Freeman was torn. Like, he fell in love with Atlanta, but I also believe Freddie Freeman wanted to go closer to home and play for the best team in baseball in the LA Dodgers. And Freddie Freeman made that decision and pissed off another market, a market that was very good to him. And he saw just how much that market loved him, because even after making that decision, Freddie Freeman was still getting standing ovations from their crowd. Billy, so what does he do? He takes all the blame and responsibility off of himself, I believe, and he puts it squarely on the agent. And I have a hard time believing, and maybe Doug is right, we'll find out, but I have a hard time believing an agent would jeopardize all of that and not put the contracts in front of Freddie Freeman.
It sounds impossible to believe. I mean, do you have any experience? Any experience in your life with an agent behaving as egregiously as Doug Gottlieb is suggesting this one did?
No, man, not really. Agents often will, I like to say, infect the brains of their clients to let them know, like, oh, they don't really care about you and things like that. I've seen that happen where the agent actively made the client, the player, feel... He fed his paranoia, basically, about not being respected by the team, and it became extremely problematic. But nothing to the point of, I guess, what Gottlieb is suggesting, that the offer was never presented to him, that holding back different kind of options. I don't think I've ever seen that, because at the end of the day, you know, if why would you ever hold back an offer unless, I guess, it was less money, you thought you would take less money to go somewhere?
Well, no, that's why you would, because your percentage would be smaller. Like, the right. The logic is...
But then, in the grand scheme of things, I know, like, a percentage of millions and millions of dollars is a lot of money, but still, in the grand scheme of things, of your relationship not only with your athlete, but also your ability to continue to recruit and, you know, be hired by other athletes... Like, it's worth it, man. It's worth the whatever, however many $100,000 you give up here. On the back end, you're going to make it up tenfold.
Billy, why were you making faces while Stu Gatz was talking?
He was making me smile. The thing is, Freddie Freeman seems like he got his hand caught in the cookie jar. You know what I mean? Like, yep. He just wants to be beloved by everyone. And then in an attempt to not be hated by the Braves fans, who already love him, he's now pissing off the Dodgers fans and Clayton Kershaw. Like, it's okay. Why is he being quiet? Why isn't he saying, if this is what happened, why doesn't he say something? What's he hiding?
It's Casey What's Close, by the way. That's the agent's name. And the amount of money, I don't think, is that big of a difference in terms of the offers, Dan, where Casey Close would risk his entire career this. And listen, I'm not going to Doug Gottlieb for a guy that, you know, for credible reporting. That's not one of the places I'm going to. Sorry.
Well, not on baseball, right? You know, it's not like he's this huge baseball insider. And again, Casey Close works for Excel Sports Management, which is a really big agency. They rep both baseball and NBA players as well. That's Jeff Schwartz's agency. Dan, like, the upside is so small compared to the risk. I don't know why anyone would do that, particularly someone who works for a big agency. Remember, a lot of times those guys are not pocketing the entire client fee. That thing goes to the agency and pays people salaries and stuff like that.
Stu Gatz, your Mets, speaking of baseball, I don't know if you saw what Max Scherzer did in his rehab minor league assignment.
I did not see it, no. I saw what DeGrom did.
Well, DeGrom struck out people, but Max Scherzer evidently, for the minor leaguers, put together a more than $7,000 spread of filet mignon and ribeye, and bought everyone AirPods and lobsters, and so they didn't have to eat their customary 39-cent cheese sandwiches at below the poverty line to play minor league baseball. Your beloved Max Scherzer went in there with many of his hundreds of millions of dollars and spent big and really treated the minor leaguers and was celebrated as a heroic figure for treating the poverty-stricken rehab people carrying his things.
Well, he should be. I mean, that's what you do, right? Like, if you go down to the minors, whether you're, you know, rehabbing or you're just not playing, playing well, but you made a lot of money. You got to treat those guys, the kids trying to, they're going on buses, they're going to motels, you know? They don't have all the benefits of a Major League Baseball player. I can't imagine what Michael Jordan did for the Barons when he was there.
He did all sorts of stuff for
them. And so Scherzer, that's a great job by him. That's what you should do. Why? It seems like you're mocking the story a little bit.
But of course, it's a lovely
story. It's the look at me stuff.
No, there's no bad way to take this story. It's an act of generosity.
You're trying to find it, though.
By an extraordinarily rich man that I framed that way, only cartoonishly, to create a separation that isn't actually there.
Not only am I not impressed, all right, $200 million made so far in his career, and he bought $7,000 worth. That's a night out for him. That's like a quiet Wednesday night. But more than that, guys, same thing with Michael Jordan. He didn't do it for them. He did it because he walked in and said, "What's the spread?" And they said, "Oh, we got some 39 cent cheese sandwiches." Like, I'm not eating that shit. So he just like orders whatever.
It's
like,
he did it for him, right?
He's upgrading his experience.
Plus, he looks good, right?
It's such a good point, though. He can't be in there as they eat cheese sandwiches eating lobster. Like, he's boxed in. He's got to do that.
I feel like if Max Scherzer really wanted to improve the quality of life for minor leaguers, he wouldn't improve it for one day. Yeah. He'd get them all like $150 gift cards to Outback Steakhouse or something like that.
Right.
Something that can sustain over the course of several
meals. That's improving?
Yes.
That's improving?
I mean, over minor league life? I feel like it probably is.
Buy him an airplane.
But what Woody is saying is right. I mean, do it when you're not there. Do it for the entire season. Buy him an airplane. Buy him a hotel.
That's right.
Buy him
a hotel.
Yes.
By the way, he bought them AirPods.
Right.
Like, get out of here, man. How many of those guys
teenagers
already had AirPods?
You know?
High schoolers have AirPods.
Exactly.
What are you talking
about?
Right.
What?
High schoolers. They have ears. They listen to things with their ears just like adults.
I mean, a lot of people use AirPods. This is not an AIDS-specific thing. AirPods is a great gift.
No, that's the point. It's not impressive. You know what I mean?
What do you mean it's not a great gift?
Going around buying PS5 or something, you know?
But get someone PS5s. They're hard to come by. They're expensive. Like, get them all PS5s.
Yeah. Make investments on their behalf. Yeah.
Yeah. Give them stocks and bonds.
Exactly.
How about that?
Right.
Buy them some stuff that appreciates in value. Here's a watch.
The watch.
Here's some real estate. Let me buy you some real estate.
Yes. Buy everyone real estate. Yeah.
Want to be Mr. Nice Guy.
Max Scherzer is one of the heads of the players' union. He could actually get minor leaguers better rights instead of giving a couple of them lobsters.
Well, he's doing it.
But AirPods.
I do love, though, Stugatz's now has taken the take even further than it ever has been before, because it was do it in the playoffs, do it in the future. Then last week, he made it do it before. And just now, with Scherzer, he made it do it when you're not there.
Show me you care about me when you're not around. I'm serious.
He's never going to talk to any of those people again.
Never again. He won't do him a single favor for the remainder of his life. I mean, it's a terrible job, I sure as.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. How did you flip to the other side after accusing me of saying
you're trying to find the negative in every story. I mean.
No, Sugats, this is where you tell him, I took the L.
Yeah,
you won the argument.
It's a good point. I mean, listen, Scherzer should have done more and needs to do more when he's not there. That's Dan. That is the true indication, okay, of how much you care about someone. It's what you do for them when they're not there, when you're not there, when they're not around, when you can't see them. Okay, it's the things you do without the cameras around. That's a sign that you care about
someone.
Do
it in 4 months and say it's from anonymous and see if they figure it out.
You know what, Dan? One day in October, he's pitching for the Metropolitans. Mm-hmm. They're good. They're in the postseason, and he's got a big start. You know what you do? Right before the big start, you send them dinner. You send them spread. That's how you show people you care about them. Hey, look at Max. Mm-hmm. Right before the biggest start of his life, what is he thinking about? He's still thinking about us.
Down here
in the minors on a bus going to a Motel 6.
Or this. If they have a nice little run, you say, you know what, coach? You know what, Buck? I'm going to head back down to the minors. We got a big playoff game. I'm going to pitch for them for the playoffs this year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They left such a lasting impact. They had me rehab. I'm going to skip my next start. I'm going to go down. I'm going to go help out the boys that were there for me when I needed them. Now they need me. I'm going to start our playoff game for them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. You upgrade that thing from a Motel 6 to a Courtyard Marriott. That's what you do. I mean, that's for the greats. Thank you.
residence in, maybe give them a little kitchenette, so you don't have to like rely on that god awful little mini mart downstairs to get some.
Do minor league baseball players still live with like families from the neighborhood? Is that a thing that we're still doing, where they just shack up?
Max steps up, they don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Staying at a Ritz.
Maybe get everybody a meal plan. They don't have to worry about cooking. You get everyone a meal plan for a year.
Right. We have Meg Scherzer starting a dorm.
Sugats has got it at the Ritz. You've got Erie, Pennsylvania, and all of a sudden, right by the ballpark, he's constructing an entire hotel over there. Not just one, a luxury hotel right among the factories. Like, after starting it, Dan, it sounds like you're trying to find some criticism of this. After starting the whole thing,
it's what you do if you care, Dan. I mean, listen, AirPods enough. I don't want to hear about it. What you do is in every minor league city, you build a Ritz or a Four Seasons. I mean, that's how you care. I mean,
then
that's it.
I don't like to count other people's pockets. I don't like to stick my hand in people's pockets and count their money. Yeah. But Dan, if you got everyone here AirPods, would we be impressed? None of us would be impressed.
We would act impressed, and then we'd make fun of you afterwards.
We'd be thankful. We'd be thankful, but we wouldn't be impressed. And Dan, this man makes way more money than you do. I know that's a hard thing for you to conceptualize, but he makes way, 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 way more money than you do. Matter of fact, he makes more money than you do, more than you make more money than us. You see how that goes? Proportionally speaking, he is way richer compared to you than you are to us. And this dude gave out AirPods, and we're supposed to give him a standing ovation and shed a tear and say, what a hero, what a swell guy. Get out of here.
Also, how did he give them lobster? Because if it's a standalone live lobster in my locker room, that's what kind of gift is this?
It might not be lobster, actually.
Lobster's hard.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Is raising a lobster hard?
You don't want them falling in the wrong crowd.
Why do you think raising a lobster is hard?
Well, it's a burden. You know what I mean? You're giving everybody these pet lobsters, and what are you going to do with them?
They touch them. They're prickly. Yeah. Prickly lobsters.
Lots of peer pressure there. Some really bad hermit crabs.
Yeah.
I had not considered what you're saying. I mean, that Max Scherzer, obviously, if he's doing a rehab start, he needs that clubhouse to not be shitty, and he needs the food not to be a half a bag of chips and, you know, whatever it is that they serve minor leaguers in a box.
This is like Jordan rides the bus. Remember that 30 for 30 about Jordan's time with the Birmingham Barons? He, like, the first thing he did was he bought a brand new tour bus for the team. And everyone's like, wow, MJ, what a swell guy. It's like, no. He doesn't want to ride in your shitty bus. That's what he's doing. He's upgrading it to his standard. If I got to be here, I'm going to do it my way. That's what he's doing. And so that's what Scherzer's doing. He's just upgrading the standard of living for himself. And then, you know, like you said, you can't just get, I have steak over here, everyone else doing cheese sandwiches. So you buy for everybody. Because what's $7,000 to Max Scherzer?
It's nothing. And what he said is they're eating well tonight. The boys are eating well tonight. And what he meant is Max is eating well tonight.
Yeah, I have the details here. It says this is a report from Fox Sports. But on Wednesday, after the Binghamton Rumble Ponies 8-3 victory in Connecticut over the Hartford Yard Goats, Mad Max went above and beyond. According to those familiar, Scherzer, who has earned more than $250 million in his career, showed off big cash for a locker room feast that included bone-in ribeye, filet mignon, and lobster. Whereas a normal post-game dinner would be limited to one folding table, Chateau Scherzer was a 3-4 folding table situation. The approximate dollar figure tossed around the clubhouse was upward of $7,000.
He had one meal there and said, we ain't doing that again.
Do you believe that the AirPods come from his sponsor or came from that they hit his credit
card? Totally came from a sponsor.
Do you believe that the AirPods, that was a phone call? What's the amount of effort that you believe Max Scherzer put in to the acquisition of this? Was it just telling someone do this?
You have them at Best Buy buying them himself?
No,
I'm asking you to conjure what the images are of how Max Scherzer did this. We're making it a thoughtful gesture that is viewed by the public as a really wonderful thing that we have now turned and desecrated into a selfish act of gluttony and greed from a Players Association representative who should get the minor leaguers better rights and better sandwiches.
According to Spotrac, he's making $43.3 million this season. So $7,000 out of someone's salary who makes $43.3 million is the equivalent for a $50,000 salary person spending $8.
Is it a tax write-off? It must be, right?
It's less than 1/6,000th of his annual income.
It's like if someone making $50,000 a year spent $8 out of pocket. That's what it is. Oh, I bought the whole office donuts. How much did it cost? $8. They were day old donuts. That's what we're praising. Day old donuts.
We really ruined this story.
I was so wrong.
I feel terrible for Max Scherzer now.
You're not there. Okay?
Exactly.
Exactly.
I thought I was making a salient point with the Outback Steakhouse argument. Now it turned into we have to all be better at charity than Max Scherzer is.
Now the Outback Steakhouse
charity. I can do some charity,
Steakhouse.
And I don't.
That's go eat with yourselves. I don't want to eat with you guys. Here's some money. Go eat with people that aren't me.
Just to clarify, the Stugatz's final advice after arguing what a sweet thing Max Scherzer did is do it when you're not there, and also build a chain of Ritz-Carltons and Four Seasons all over the minor leagues.
Yeah. In Allegheny, Pennsylvania,
get into the hotel business.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
They would try to bring in some minority characters, and you could... Yeah, they tried.
Louis Aguirre was one of them. They tried to dabble in Latin flavor, was and they went and got...
Maurice Chestnut was one, I think.
Morris.
Maurice Chestnut, I'm sorry. God, what a beefcake in that show. Oh. Miranda, why didn't you stay with him? I mean, we're going to go with Steve on this one? Seriously?
Stugatz!
Oh, no. Clear out. I have to issue an apology.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, no. Is it a Sex and the City apology?
I would like to formally apologize to Blair Underwood for calling him Morris Chestnut.
Oh, no.
Look.
L.A. Law, man. Come on, yo.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I love my father dearly. My father is never going to stop being my father. And so every time he comes in here, I am delighted to see him. He is the builder of the empire. He fled Cuba so that he could build a free life for his son. And at the center here, he is always welcome. But every time he comes in here, we ask him if he wants lunch. He says no. And then he buries the kitchen by just eating cashews and trail mix and just coming in here smelling of free stuff that he cannot stop eating.
But what's it there for if you're not going to eat it?
He
is perhaps taking advantage of a resource that we here in the shipping container and otherwise don't take advantage of enough.
No. No, Bobby's doing us a favor, because if Bobby doesn't eat that, it's going to go bad. And you can't waste food. Yeah. There's nothing worse in the world than having... Exactly right. Tony's exactly... Es un pecado. To have that food out there and have it go bad and throw it away? Mm-mm.
You want to tell the people as we prepare here for Refrán del Día, pecado. Es un pecado, Bobby. You want to define that for the audience?
It's a pecado. It's a sin.
It is a sin here. A little bonus refrán del día.
It's a sin.
You throw an S in there. Pecado is a fish.
Yeah. Pecado, yeah. Well, that's right. The difference between pecado and pescado is a fish.
The difference between the sin and the fish is an S.
It's an S.
As everybody always says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You want to tell the people, Papi, what you were growing up, what your most famous nickname was, pescado related?
No, I prefer not to.
Did my father just no comment the show?
Dan, what was it along. He said no.
Pesculo.
Pesculo was a fish. This is the backstory. Yes, the fish, it would breach the sea, and sometimes, you know, its bathing suit would be falling down in the back, perhaps. Pesculo's ass was especially hairy. The pesculo was
Wait,
part
why?
Fish, part ass.
But why are we naming it such?
Well, because you could see what I was showing. That's called a pesculo. I was floating. That's all I was doing.
He was floating, my father said. My
father was wearing a revealing bathing suit, essentially.
Something like that.
My father's voice is breaking down because, of course, he's eating cashews. We let Bobby do it his way.
Guzzling LaCroix as well.
Yeah, and as well. We'll do referendum deal in a second. But, guys, my father, it's not his entire lifetime, but he taught me to love sports with crappy seats at the Orange Bowl for Dolphin games and O.J. Simpson. It's my father passed down sports. Almost his entire life since then, the Dolphins have stunk. They are entering a season, Chris Whittingham, that comes now with expectations. They are from a local team to a national team. Tyreek Hill makes them that. They have the potential for exciting offense. I saw a stunning stat on ESPN. Stunning. The Miami Dolphins have not had, and your eyes are not lying to you, Whittingham, your entire adult life, the Dolphins have stunk at offense. Get me the stat of the day, because this one is worthy of the short version of the stat of the day.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day.
Whittingham is laughing in my face because my father is waving for some reason and just pounding sunflower seeds. You can hear him chewing, perhaps, because he...
I just love how much it frustrates you. It's just your father. Your Bobby's being Bobby. He's shoveling some cashews in his face.
I know. It's just that I asked him if he wanted lunch, and I wanted... And he just won't... He'll do it his way forever. I'll never stop being his son. Like, he gets to be in charge. The stat of the day, Whittingham, is that the Miami Dolphins have not had a top 10 offensive team, according to SportsCenter, since 1995.
Oh, my God.
Teams like the Texans and the Browns have done it more recently.
I can remember some of those offenses, like the Texans offense with Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson. There were times where the Texans were electrifying and you wanted to watch Texans games. Every team has had their turn of being electrifying.
But Billy,
except for mine.
Billy, Roy, they now have what is one of the fastest teams. They have wide receivers if they stay healthy. Tyreek Hill is interested in becoming a star. I don't know who wins a race between DK Metcalf and Tyreek Hill. A.J. Brown has $50,000 on DJ Metcalf. I can't believe that Metcalf could beat Hill in a race, but A.J. Brown is saying, no, Metcalf is faster. They promise to be
it's
not...
It's almost unfair for Metcalf to be that fast. Like, think of the size disparity. The whole, like... Tyreek Hill's reason for being is his speed. DK Metcalf could be fine if he ran a 4.7.
But we don't know if the Dolphins' fastest player is Tyreek Hill or if he's the third fastest player, right? Because it's not just Waddle, it's Mostert as well. They're going for fast, and they're going for a new coach who promises top 10 offense. But my father has lived his entire life without the Dolphins being good, never mind exciting. Like, not his entire life, but as just basically after he passed down fandom to me, it was Marino, Shula, and the last 20 years, wildly uninteresting football as the Miami Heat took the town from the Miami Dolphins. My father's opinions on all of this, as the Miami Dolphins go into a season of great expectations, are what?
I believe it when I see it. Looks good on paper. They gotta show it to the people here that they are the real deal.
That's right. And put up or shut up, Bobby.
Yeah,
tell them.
That's the way it is, buddy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have seen that show before.
That's right.
What are you telling the Dolphins? Can you pronounce Tua's last name?
Tua? No, I call him Tua, the Hawaiian kid. Do you want to be more specific about his last name?
Do you want to take a crack at Tua's last name? You're a big fan of Tua. It's not an easy name to pronounce. Roy got it wrong earlier in the show. He's still suffering that one.
Thanks, Dan.
But there's only one Tua on the team. Poppy, right?
Like, that's right. There's only one Tua. I said the only Tua that you have in the team. That's a QB. That's it.
That's right. If there was more than one Tua, then we need to know the last name. Like, if it was a Joey, then we need to know Joey A, Joey B, like that, right?
But that's right. One Tua. Tua one.
Exactly. Tua, QB1. That's what Poppy calls him.
As time goes on, I'm starting to maybe believe a little bit more that the Dolphins could have a successful season because San Francisco has mostly done their winning without tremendous quarterback play. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't been great. So I think the Dolphins still have a chance to not only be good, but good at offense.
Well, but
even at like Garoppolo and our beloved big time throws stat, he's always towards the bottom because it's almost like the offense doesn't need it.
Does it need mentioning that Tyreek Hill and Waddle are trying to tell us how amazing Tua Tagovailoa looks in camp? They are selling us at all times. When the problem with this team last year, and I've told you this again, the difficulty in evaluating Tua is the following, and I really don't have the expertise to do this for you. They were, by empirical study or as empirical as it can get in that sport, they allowed 235 pressures last year. It was the worst pass blocking win rate ever since they started measuring these things. That's what Tua was doing. He did fairly well against the blitz, but couldn't throw the ball downfield. There was no time to throw the ball downfield. Now, Mark Dominic, who has worked in football, analyzes football, was the Tampa Bay Bucs GM, says they are pretty stacked on the offensive line because they have Connor Williams and Armstead. And now they've gone from, okay, they were historically bad to pretty stacked. Is that right? I don't know. Somebody's going to have to show me that.
I mean, the Dolphins have always committed resources to the offensive line. They've always brought in first-round draft picks and big-money signings. This isn't the first time where I would, at the end of a season, expect that the Dolphins would have a decent offensive line. I've gotten into seasons hoping that, but always by the end of the season, they're one injury away from Jesse Davis starting again.
Billy,
that always,
Tony,
there's always Jesse Davis lingering
Billy,
there to start again.
Put it on the
right
poll,
guard.
Guillermo. Is there always Jesse Davis lingering around your offensive line? Billy, Roy, Tony, are you willing to suspend disbelief? 20 years, 25 years of failure. I don't know how long they haven't won a playoff game. When was the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game?
2000.
Yeah, 2000.
Well, the 2000 season, I think it might have been like the last day of 2000.
It was Lamar
the first
Smith
day of, yeah.
running for 200 yards against the Colts at home.
I believe that game was regionally blacked out as well.
Oh, my God. 30 years of awful. Your entire
yeah.
life.
Yeah, basically, since I've been, I would say, a sentient sports fan.
Tony.
Hey, Dan. To me, I think everything changed when Mike McDaniel got here. What he's been able to do with kind of mismatched pieces and guys that have just been in running back
rooms. Do we know if that's him, though? Because it's Kyle Shanahan as well.
But it is, but it's more than just Shanahan, right? Like, it can't just be Shanahan.
It can't just be Shanahan, but he's the one that has the track record. Mike McDaniel does not have a track record of having done this other than while being underneath Kyle Shanahan.
Correct, but Shanahan didn't have it until when? He went out and did it on his own, right?
Yeah.
No, so Shanahan now, had it in Atlanta. He was doing it. He got Matt Ryan to a Super
right,
Bowl with
probably
Mac
then, though.
He was doing it before.
I remember Bomani Jones really had a go at how Washington and him in particular handled Robert Griffin III, but it turns out that Robert Griffin III was only really at his best in the Shanahan system. So, like, Kyle Shanahan, as an offensive coordinator, but you could say that's Mike Shanahan. Either way, you don't have a track record of Mike McDaniel being someone like... Coaching trees don't always pan out. You don't go, because this person worked under this person, they're going to bring the exact same
Roy,
ideas
Billy,
somewhere else.
Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in hope?
I'm a Christian and I don't believe in this miracle.
Just to ask if I believe in hope? Yeah. I don't want to be the anti-hope person, right? Mm. That's sad.
Such a stark departure from who you are.
I would love to see what shit Adam McKay could make out of you.
Oh, buddy. Just wait and see.
Wow.
Just wait
That's
and see.
That's where we have escalated to. Let's do Refrán del Día, please.
Dímelo, mi gente!
I want an Anna McKay show.
Another week. Another refrán. We have Poppy here, and we have a doozy of a refrán. I can't wait to get to it. Spin the wheel.
How do you know if it's a doozy? If
because they're all doozies, guys. They're all winners. What do you not get? Spinning. Lewis is not here. He's in Tahoe. So I've got Danny. Danny spun the wheel, and Oh my God. What an exciting one. Bobby, you're going to love this one. You ready?
Hold on. I should tell the audience as Danny heads to Tahoe, and I don't know.
Lewis is going to Tahoe.
Lewis is going to Tahoe. Yeah. Danny is sitting right in that big corner.
Yeah, Danny's here.
He wishes he was in Tahoe.
Yeah.
Does he?
Do you?
Lewis can be the La Esquina de Chusmeria. Poppy, this esquina of Lewis and Tony that desecrates the show every day. How would you explain to the audience what this the direct translation of La Esquina de Chusmeria is?
The low-class corner.
That is correct. The low-class corner is exactly right, Bobby. Thank you. You guys are now... This video is going to be produced from Tahoe. Before we go any further, they're going to...
Unlikely.
Mike is there. Chris Cody is there. Is Greg Cody there, or is he with us tomorrow?
Greg Cody's with us tomorrow. He did not make the trip this year.
But Stugatz, look, we have not... I believe this is just these guys...
Don't do this.
Wait.
But don't do it.
Refrán del día. I believe these guys are just scamming trips, and the content is sketchy. And last year it was, you know, it was Ray Romano hitting Chris Cody in the balls, and
it was excellent. That was the greatest thing of all time. Yeah.
However, if it would not have happened, then what would have happened?
Billy is on to this. Even Billy,
I also got like a full docket of Stugatz's plans for recordings this week that has like 8 days of recordings, and I'm like, as soon as you tee off tomorrow, none of this is happening. So I just like, okay, let me know your schedule.
Last year, it was like, yeah, we'll do something after your round. And then he was like, I'm tired, buddy. I'm going back to my room.
Well, I also
we did record a post-round podcast last year that involved us having an earthquake. So
yeah, that was exciting.
I thought that was fairly eventful.
Yeah, but it seemed like with short of natural and unnatural disasters... Like, short of an earthquake and someone getting hit by a ball.
It's just a funding of Chris Cody and Stugatz.
Well, I feel bad for Chris. I don't think Chris is playing this year.
No, he's not.
I think he found that out. Yes, yeah. I think he found out once he was on the bird
that
he was not playing.
They're playing with the Miz, I thought.
Not Chris.
Yeah, Mike is. Yeah. Mike's in.
Yeah.
All right, let's do Refrán del día. We'll see what emerges from Tahoe. Where should we set our expectations for Stupidity and everywhere else?
You know what? I'm going to be the optimist here. Billy, you were pro-hope. I'm going to be pro-hope here. We're set up on the driving range this year.
Exciting. Everything happens on the driving range, Dano.
So you have all the celebrities have to walk by Stugatz.
Mike McGlinchey was there last year.
I did also overhear yesterday, which was the plan was to leave on Saturday, and I already heard Stugatz telling Woody, like, buddy, I'll catch your red eye on Friday. I'm like, okay.
I don't know how Stugatz lives. I really don't. I don't understand how you go to a place without a return flight.
No.
How you're making your travel arrangements 18 hours before you're meant to get on a plane. Like,
it's intentional.
I know.
Because he casually drives and goes, buddy, I'm going to catch a red eye Friday to the Meadowlands. And then you ask a very, very good question. Goes, what's in the Meadowlands? Why are you going there?
Dead show,
buddy. This may roll over to the next music round.
I'll play it again.
That's okay. Yeah. Yes, I do want to know where it is we're going to end up with Stugatz. What the expectation for the audience should be. Let's do Refrán del día. What did it land on, Tony?
La cosa tuya no tiene nombre. A very exciting one that means in literal translation.
Hold on. We got an expert here. Wait.
You're right.
Papi, go ahead. Say it again, Tony, please.
La cosa tuya no tiene nombre.
Your thing doesn't have a name.
But in context, what does that mean?
It means whatever you're doing is so incredible that I can't explain it.
But in a negative way.
It is not positive. It's not. You're not awe-inspiring.
We've yet to get a positive refrán. Most refráns are negative.
They're all insults.
Yeah. It's all this guy.
It's not really a refrán del día as much as it's el insulto del día from the corner of the low-class corner, correct?
Yeah, you're right. We should rebrand.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite.
You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.